From KCRW in Santa Monica, I'm Matt Holzman, sitting in for Claude Brodesser Ackner, and this is The Business.
So you still want to do the show business, and you think that you got what it takes? I mean, you really got to rap and be all that, and prepare yourself for the breaks. Check it out.
This week in the wake of Super Tuesday, The Business broadcasts from the corner of Hollywood Boulevard and Pennsylvania Avenue. We'll talk to Variety's political guru, Ted Johnson, and check back with MGM CEO Harry Sloan, an elephant in a sea of donkeys. But first, it's the Hollywood News Caravan. Go nowhere. It's The Business from NPR. Well, no news is good news, I suppose, from the writers and producers. What we do know is that over the weekend, the Writers Guild East and West plan to meet to go over the deal they've been cobbling together with producers in time to save the Oscars. No doubt the deal will look something like the director's contract with better terms on the internet. Word is the writers want to make sure that whatever they agree to doesn't set the terms in perpetuity. They're still smarting from the awful home video deal they made in 1988, and they insist that, like The Who, they won't get fooled again. Alas, the new deal won't get them any more money on DVD, which will remain the major source of after-theater revenue for years to come. Elsewhere, in a story worthy of reality TV, mega agency CAA let go of its top man in alternative programming last week in a cloud of controversy. Undeterred by whatever malfeasance caused his sudden ouster, he became, quote, the object of competitive and aggressive courting by the other major agencies, unquote, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Michael Camacho had risen from the mailroom to become CAA's top man in reality. In that job, he recently helped broker a deal for his client Oprah Winfrey in her new joint venture with Discovery Communications, a channel called, God help us, the Oprah Winfrey Network. Camacho was reportedly booted from CAA for lobbying inappropriately to head the new network. What qualifies for inappropriate in a talent agency is very hard to imagine. But he and many of his clients were promptly swept up by CAA rival UTA. Not to worry, his new agency was assured of Camacho's integrity by the producers of Fox TV's Moment of Truth, who said he passed a polygraph test with flying colors. Finally, the web is abuzz with, quote, news that the FBI has tapped the phones of celebrity tabloid In Touch. It seems that at least one editor may have accepted payments in exchange for preferred placement of certain celebrities in their magazine. Since rags like In Touch don't care whether or not the dreck they publish is true or not, we'll repeat this story without checking the facts. After all, even if they're not felonious bloodsuckers, they're still bloodsuckers. And that's the Hollywood News Caravan. Later in the show, raising money for John McCain in Hollywood is getting easier, but it's still not easy. But next, Hillary and Obama in a show business showdown. Hollywood's always been into politics, but the real possibility of a Democrat in the White House after 8 years of Bush and the pure theater of the presidential primaries this year has Hollywood hopped up on election goofballs. After Super Tuesday, we thought we'd better check the town's political pulse with Ted Johnson, who writes the Wilshire and Washington blog for Variety. Ted Johnson, it's a busy time for you, so thank you for stopping by.
Sure. It's good to be here.
Interesting, looking at some numbers, in California statewide, Hillary Clinton won by a percentage of 52 to 42 for Obama. In L.A. County, it was similar. But if you look at the 30th Congressional District, which is Hollywood, West Hollywood, Beverly Hills, Santa Monica, and Malibu, it's just the opposite. Clinton got around 40% and Obama got around 60%. So what does that mean?
Well, I think that probably means that Obama does have a lot of particular strength in the entertainment business because that's where most of the people actually live. He also has a lot of strength among people who make more than, what is it, $100,000, $200,000 a year. So Obama does have equal, if not greater, support in Hollywood among workers, particularly young workers in the entertainment business.
Which is interesting because you think of the Clintons as having these extraordinary Hollywood roots and that, you know, although politically speaking, it's understandable that they would kind of split the vote. In some ways, she has such a presence here because of her time with her husband, what's his name, but that's not really proving to be true.
Yeah. I mean, actually, the only reliable figure that we have of entertainment industry support is the money that goes to the candidates. And Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, from the start, have raised almost equal amounts of money. They've each raised about $2.5 million at the end of last year.
Do you think that the two of them are kind of polarizing Hollywood? Do you think there's causing some kind of tension there?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I've had major donors say to me, hey, listen, we're not exactly mixing with the Obama camp, or we're not exactly mixing with the Clinton camp at this time. I wouldn't call it a bitterness between the campaigns, but I would say that it is somewhat of a rivalry that's going on. I think you probably saw this assumption a year ago that Clinton would kind of walk away with all of the Hollywood support, and she would have a wide lead in the donor community. And that just wasn't the case. I mean, they really have managed to steal a lot of her thunder throughout the year. And then, you know, some quarters they've even exceeded the amount that Hillary Clinton has raised in the entertainment business.
This is obviously not a politically correct thing to say, but my sense is that that Barack Obama being black would work great with Hollywood's, you know, white liberal guilt.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually, you know, that's one theory. It may not even be a bad theory. I think what I see more is kind of this generational split in Hollywood between the politically active establishment Hollywood tends to be going for Hillary Clinton, and the younger Hollywood, the actors who may be, you know, not yet on the A-list, but there are a number of A-list performers for them, and the studio executives, kind of the rank-and-file studio executives, tend to be going for Obama. It's a gross generalization, but if you actually go down the donor list, it is marked. You can actually see it.
You say that both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama raised about $2.5 million last year in Hollywood. How do the results of the California primary affect that going forward?
The assumption right now is that both candidates have kind of tapped out the Hollywood donor community. They've had so many fundraisers out here, and a lot of their donors have maxed out. In other words, they can't give more.
Legally.
Legally.
Yeah, they have more. They just can't give
more.
Yeah,
they have more, and they probably would give. So even though Hillary gets this momentum out of California, so many of her donors may be at that limit. And to an extent, the same goes for Barack Obama. What Obama has is he has this huge internet donor base. You know, that's not just entertainment. I mean, it's across the board of donors who've given $10, $50, $100 here and there that he can go back to, and they can continue to give.
What else changes now for these two candidates now that this super duper Tuesday has happened and we've seen what's going to happen in California? Amongst the Hollywood crowd, what else changes for these two candidates, or even for the candidates on the Republican side?
First of all, the Republican side, I think that's going to be very interesting, because what you had is this sense among a lot of Giuliani donors that they never even saw their candidate perform because he dropped out before the California primary. So a number of them have already lined up to John McCain. You know, I think Giuliani's endorsement really helped.
So like who?
People like Kelsey Grammer and John Voight seem to already be going into the McCain camp. They were high-profile people for Giuliani. And I think there's really this sense that they will be heavily involved in the Republican general elections, much more so than maybe Hollywood Republicans showed up for George Bush. Hmm. There's always been this sense among Hollywood Republicans that, you know, we're kind of the oppressed class. It's a big risk to go out and make yourself known in liberal Hollywood.
Get outed.
Yeah, to get outed in liberal Hollywood. I always thought that was a little overblown because, you know, the Hollywood Republicans I talk to are not too reticent of having their opinions known. I think maybe in certain work situations it may actually harm you, but I just don't sense it a whole lot among different performers. On the Democratic side, there'll probably be some toning down of Hollywood's involvement. It was almost bizarre in the days before the California primary what you saw. I mean, you had you know, Jack Nicholson on the radio talking with Hillary Clinton. You know, you had Robert De Niro out there stumping with Barack Obama. You had the Grateful Dead kind of reuniting up in San Francisco to have a fundraiser for Barack Obama. And, you know, Scarlett Johansson and Stevie Wonder delivering robocalls. I think there was probably this
delivering
assumption.
What?
Robocalls. They were calling up voters.
Yes, right.
And urging, getting them out to vote.
Hi, this is Scarlett Johansson.
Exactly. Yeah. Stevie Wonder was even, you know, singing on the phone.
Hi, this is Scarlett Johansson urging you to join me and thousands of other independent voters in supporting Barack Obama tomorrow. Imagine helping to elect a candidate who will turn a page on the polarizing politics of the past and unite America around a common purpose. Remember, polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. This message is paid for by Obama for America.
If you're just joining us, I'm Matt Holzman, and I'm talking Hollywood and politics with Ted Johnson, who writes the Wilshire and Washington blog for Variety. Now, Arnold Schwarzenegger, a former actor, you may have known him from the movies, he's come out in favor of John McCain, and I'm wondering if how you think his endorsement was received in Hollywood.
People were probably already leaning toward McCain or leaning toward Giuliani. This probably only solidifies that. But even more than that, I think it also gives them probably a sense of enthusiasm to maybe go out there and raise money, to maybe go out there and campaign for John McCain, and with hope to actually put California in play for the Republicans.
Talk about endorsements, kind of inverse endorsements. You think that Rush Limbaugh being out so much against McCain actually helps McCain in Hollywood?
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's so funny because among Hollywood Republicans, the popular candidates tend to be the moderates. They tend to be the mavericks, the people who go against the grain of the social conservatives in the party. You know, people in Hollywood like John McCain because he's an economic conservative. And they also like the fact that he's not beholden to that social conservative wing. And I have to say, you know, Mike Huckabee was out here raising money in Hollywood about a week ago. And a number of people were just mocking. They were like, who is going to show up to this event?
And who did?
Yeah. Well, it was hosted by Steve McAvity, who was one of the producers of The Passion of the Christ.
Speaking of the Republicans, why did Fred Thompson never become kind of Hollywood's darling Republican?
Well, I think two big reasons. One, he got in the race too late. By the time he got in the race, a lot of donors had already made their picks, and they'd gotten onto the Giuliani campaign or the McCain campaign. In fact, I think in the most recent quarter, Ron Paul outraised Fred Thompson in Hollywood. I also think that Fred Thompson never lived out here. He wasn't a Hollywood Republican in the way that Ronald Reagan was. He wasn't born and bred of the business.
Is he going to go back to Law and Order?
I wouldn't be surprised if he does. I haven't heard anything solid that he is, but I wouldn't be surprised that he does. It's such an interesting campaign because I think there was this really assumption that he would kind of grab the Reagan mantle, and he never did.
Now, you've been out on the campaign trail. You've gone to fundraising events. You've been talking to these people. Can you tell us a story or two of just some general kind of surreal weirdness where Wilshire and Washington met?
where they met. Oprah going up to Montecito and her fundraiser and the incredible amounts of security that it took to get into Oprah Winfrey's home. I mean, it was an off-site security place. And
so you went to some place and got searched, and then they bust you in from there?
And then they bust you in from there. And there was literally a traffic jam on the 101 because the security had backed up traffic because they had to – first of all, you had to park your car, and then you had to go through security. I have to say I've been to the White House once. It was easier getting into the White House than it was getting into Oprah's estate. It was quite a scene. So,
how much money did they raise? You know?
Actually, that's actually a very good question because that was the most successful Hollywood fundraiser this cycle. They raised about $3.2 million.
God, I imagine what the expenses must have been. Maybe she just donated all the expenses in terms of security and everything else.
Well, it's interesting because there is this dynamic of having these fundraisers, and there's this expectation that if you pay this $2,300 to go up to these big, huge mansions, you're going to have, you know, the best food and the best, you know, the best trappings possible. But the fact of the matter is the campaign has to pick up the tab. Federal election law prevents Oprah from saying, oh, I'm going to just pay for everything.
Huh.
So which is some people don't notice. So there were a few people who were a little disappointed in what the food was once they got there. And I don't think they realized what election law says.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Knowing what you know about all the candidates, is there one candidate that you feel is really best for the business? Somebody who just knows the business, gets the business, and would do right by the business in terms of legislation and tax and all those things.
It's so interesting. I think any of them, you know, to tell you the truth.
These candidates, all three of them are good for Hollywood.
Yeah, I think any of them. First of all, you know, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Hillary Clinton has long ties to the entertainment business. Barack Obama, after this election, will have long ties. And John McCain has sat on the Senate Commerce Committee for quite some time, which oversees entertainment issues in Washington, D.C. So, you know, when you get to issues like censorship and that type of thing, I think they'll probably all come out on the same wavelength. You know, the industry has to do a better job of self-policing itself. But we are against censorship.
Ted Johnson is Variety's editor-at-large and writes their Wilshire and Washington blog. Ted Johnson, thank you for coming back and talking more about Hollywood and politics.
Thank you.
It's not surprising that two of California's most illustrious politicians started out as actors. But it is a little weird that these sons of liberal Hollywood both became Republicans. Actually, there are a lot of show business folks on the right side of things. Like Harry Sloan, the chairman and CEO of MGM. He's been in Senator John McCain's corner for the last year, and now it seems like he's finally getting some respect. Before Super Tuesday, he held a star-studded fundraiser at his home that raised over $1 million. Harry Sloan, welcome to the business.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
Congratulations, I guess. It seems your candidate's now clearly the front runner for the Republican nomination. So where were you on Super Tuesday when the results started to come in?
Well, I wanted to be in Phoenix with John and Cindy, but we had an MGM board meeting all day yesterday, so unfortunately I was stuck in Southern California. But at least California was a, shall we say, a sunny place for McCain yesterday.
Was there a TV off in the corner of the room, and was it like, Harry, hello, back here, we're talking about business?
No, it was more like everybody on their Blackberries sort of, you know, while the meeting was going on, Blackberrying each other and texting each other and saying, you know, New York has gone to McCain or Obama. And, you know, people were certainly interested. I think everybody's interested.
I could see some of the people on your board thinking, well, we were going to propose this thing to him and he wasn't going to go for it, but he's got to be in a great mood now, so we'll just roll it out.
My mood did get better as the day wore on. And then, of course, we started feeling greedy because when he won Missouri, which was, you know, so close, and it was winner take all, I was feeling great about that. And then he was opening up a lead in California, which was a little bit surprising because the polls were leaning toward Romney. You know, and then I started feeling greedy and noticing that, you know, he'd only lost Tennessee to Huckabee by 1 or 2 points and Georgia by 1 point. And my God, if he had just one more point down there in some of these places that are unexpected, it probably would be over.
If you had just raised some more money for him to take out more ads in those states, he probably would have.
I know. I do blame myself.
It's all your fault. So let's go back.
And you know how easy it is to raise money for Republicans in Hollywood.
Yes, exactly, which is why we're talking to you. After a short break, more with MGM CEO Harry Sloan, Senator John McCain's man in Hollywood. You're listening to The Business from NPR. You're listening to The Business, and I'm Matt Holzman, sitting in for Claude Brodesser-Ackner. I'm talking to Harry Sloan, the chairman and CEO of MGM. He's John McCain's main man in Hollywood. Let's go back before Senator McCain's wins on Tuesday. The last time we talked to you, which was in June of last year, you said that it was very lonely being a Republican in Hollywood, and that didn't surprise us at all. But you said it was the, quote, lowest point for trying to raise money for a Republican. And I'm wondering, you know, show business loves a winner, and it seemed in the last month or two that McCain was just building up this head of steam and he was going to win. So did it change how you were perceived or how your pitches were perceived?
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. We had scheduled our fundraising party at our house for January 31st, and, well, long, long, long time ago. And what happens? January 29th, he wins Florida. Immediately, you know, becomes a front runner. January 30th, Rudy Giuliani, the next day at the Reagan Library, endorses him. The next day, 31st in the afternoon, Arnold Schwarzenegger endorses him. I mean, he was on such a roll at that point that as each one of those things happened, the phone was ringing, you know, more and more, and we went from 125 people to 150 people to 200 people. We had over 300 people at the fundraiser, and that was, you know, certainly more than we expected.
Oh, fickle Hollywood.
Yeah, well, and then the governor shows up. How that was great.
Well, did you think at all, I mean, one thing about Schwarzenegger is that he is disliked by many in his own party because he's got such wide-ranging views. Was there a sense that, gee, maybe having him on board would not be a good thing?
No, no, no. We're talking about Hollywood in this case, and you know he's very well liked here, and even by the Republicans that, shall we say, are more conservative. But he was terrific. I mean, he came to the house, and McCain had already given his speech, and was circulating in the crowd. Then Arnold shows up, and he got up and gave just a rousing speech, and it was just great to have him on board. Not that we needed any more enthusiasm that night, but he really did add to the evening.
Well, so you just had this fundraiser, and it clearly went very, very well. How much money did you end up raising?
Almost $1 million, and I think what's coming in since then may even get it over that, which I think was probably the biggest fundraiser, maybe tied New York for the biggest fundraiser.
For John McCain.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. McCain isn't raising the kind of money that Hillary and Obama raise or that Mitt Romney can write to himself. It's not that easy for him. I mean, one of his major issues has been campaign finance reform, and he takes money from people, you know, very carefully. And it's hard for him to be out there, you know, asking for money when he so believes that money is a problem within the system.
Right.
So it's one of the things that we, you know, really respect him for.
Well, let me ask you about, you mentioned Giuliani dropping out after Florida. Now, after he left the race, does that mean that you guys then got on the horn to the people who you knew were supporting Giuliani and try to get them into your camp?
Well, I'm sure a lot of that went on, but, you know, I found they just showed up. I mean, we had this, you know, we had the fundraiser, and
I know Kelsey Grammer was there, and
yeah,
John Voight
was
there.
Yeah, I get a call in the afternoon. Kelsey Grammer and John Voight and Bruce Raymer and a bunch of Rudy's supporters were coming that night.
So you're saying you didn't call them and say, hey, guys, what are you doing for dinner tonight?
You know, someone might have invited them earlier, but we got a call and said, you know, they're all coming, they're rallying behind him. And then that night, Rudy personally went with John and with John McCain on the Jay Leno show that same night.
Right. So, all right. So I think it would be expected that some of those Republicans, after they lost their candidate, would come over to the McCain camp. Have there been any kind of you know, defectors from the other side of the aisle? Have there been some stars who have said, you know, I really am starting to see McCain as a stronger candidate and have been, like, considering coming out in his favor?
You know, we really haven't been out trying to recruit stars and celebrities. That hasn't been, you know, a high priority for the campaign. And I think, you know, it may become more of a priority. It was nice to see Sly Stallone on his own come out, especially since McCain plays the Rocky music at all of his victory celebrations.
It's just nice that he didn't sue him.
That's true. MGM actually controls the rights to that.
Oh.
But, I mean, Sly did a lot, but he wasn't the composer of the Rocky theme.
Ah, okay.
He wrote it, and he directed it, and he starred in it.
Assume he owned everything having to do with it.
Yeah, but not the theme from Rocky. But I do think that when Obama, Clinton gets sorted out, that there will be some Democratic fallout And we will, I think, have an opportunity in Hollywood to make some inroads and bring some Democrats over. McCain had a lot of Democratic friends in the past.
Well, let me ask you about that. Now, in the primary, by the nature of the race, typically the Democrats have got to push themselves a little to the left and the Republicans have to push themselves a little to the right. In the main race, they'll come back to the center. But do you fear that as McCain is trying to get Republican votes and he has to push himself a little to the right, that he'll alienate some of the people, the centrists that are in Hollywood who are kind of riding the fence?
You know, I don't think he pushes himself to the right. I think he's a legitimate conservative on, you know, 90% of the issues. And I think it's a matter of which issues are emphasized. And sure, right now it's important to emphasize how McCain feels about appointing conservative judges, strict constructionalists, and issues like that.
Immigration.
To remind people. Well, you know,
he sounded pretty tough on that.
He's had
campaign ads in California that were pretty tough on immigration, and the wording of them is pretty strong.
Yeah, when I heard those ads, I thought, gee, it's too bad that he, you know, feels that they, or that the campaign feels they need to do that. And then on the other hand, when I, you know, got a text message from my wife that we'd won California, I was thrilled. So, you know,
oh, Machiavelli, the ends justifies the means.
You know, so I really did have mixed feelings, and I think John has absolutely gotten the message since the McCain or since the immigration bill failed, and even with the combined help of the president and McCain and everybody else, they, you know, really couldn't convince people that bill was correct. I think he has gotten the message that we're not going to have a positive change on immigration until the country feels that the effort's being made to seal the border. And he does have to emphasize that, and I understand he is emphasizing that. But once that's, you know, been made clear that, you know, that he means it, okay, then how do we solve the problem? Let's really seriously deal with it. And the only way to do it is to reach across the aisle, and he's capable of doing that.
Are there any celebrities that might come out for McCain that you would think twice about wanting to have, you know, their endorsement because of how that would look to conservatives and how easy it would be to use that as kind of in a negative ad or whatever? I mean, if Tom Cruise came out and said, "I want to be for McCain," what would you say?
I'd love to have Tom Cruise. I mean, Tom Cruise is a partner of ours in United Artists, and it would be I'd be thrilled to have Tom Cruise come out for McCain, but I think he keeps his politics pretty close to his to himself.
Hmm. All right. Well, last question for you. Aside from whatever your personal feelings or politics are about the presidential campaign, do you think that President John McCain would be good for Hollywood?
I do. You know, his experience in the Commerce Committee, where he's had, you know, quite a bit of opportunities to deal with the communications industry as a whole, is valuable. He knows what he's talking about. He understands new media, which is important to all of us. So, yeah, I do think that, you know, he would be very good for our industry.
Harry Sloan is the chairman and CEO of MGM and a supporter of Republican presidential candidate John McCain. Harry, good luck to you, and I hope that we'll talk to you soon and get the update again.
Thanks, Matt.
And that's The Business. I'm Matt Holzman. I produced and edited today's program with production assistance from Ray Guarna. Our associate producer is Darby Maloney. You can listen to this or any past program online anytime at kcrw.com/thebusiness. You can also podcast the show on KCRW's site or through iTunes. Our email is thebusiness@kcrw.org. The Business is produced by KCRW Santa Monica and distributed by National Public Radio. I'm Matt Holzman. We'll see you next week on The Business.
Hello, this is Jack Nicholson calling on behalf of Hillary Clinton about today's important presidential primary election. For 35 years, Senator Clinton has delivered solutions for the American people. She never gives up, she never gives in, and she's battle-tested.